This is Pastor Ron Franklin at Covenant Community Church, and you're listening to Covenant Living Today. Why is it that people have such a hard time getting along with one another? You ever observe that? A hard time getting along with one another. As a pastor, I see it all the time. Husbands can't get along with wives, and wives can't get along with husbands. Offspring can't get along with their parents. Now, I said offspring instead of children because I didn't want you to miss the point. It's not just the little ones that can't get along. You got some adults that can't get along with their own parents. And then don't talk about workers and their bosses. Can't get along with one another. But you know what I believe the worst one is? Christians who can't get along with other Christians. Do you know that the church is not immune? All over Harrisburg this very morning, there are people sitting in church in the same sanctuary worshiping the same God who won't speak to one another. Amen. Christians can't get along. It's a tragedy, isn't it? In fact, it's a shame. In fact, it's a sin and a shame. Because what did Jesus say? Jesus said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, we're supposed to love one another. In fact, what Jesus says is, this is the way people are supposed to know that we belong to Him. In 1 John it says, how can you claim to love God whom you have never seen and can't love your brother that you see every day? So when Christians can't get along with one another, number one, we're in sin. We're in sin. It's a sin. Here's the second thing that's such a shame about it. When Christians don't get along with one another, it totally messes up our testimony to the world. I mean, Jesus said that it's the quality of the love that people see in us that's supposed to let them know we belong to Him. That's our testimony. And yet when people come in the church and they see Christians who are not getting along with one another, it destroys the attractiveness of the church to people in the world. I mean, if you want backbiting and gossiping and talking about people and getting in people's faces, you don't need to come to church for that. You can get that every day in the world. Amen. So why get dressed and go to church on Sunday morning if that's what you're going to get? No. It destroys our testimony. And the devil is going, yay, gotcha. That's what he wants in the church. Jesus said it's supposed to be the exact opposite. It's our love that's supposed to attract people. Here's the third thing. How many of you know that when you can't get along with the people in your life, you will be miserable? Amen? And that is not God's plan for us. That's not what God intended for us. He never intended for Christians to live with that kind of misery. So here's the question. If God didn't intend for us not to be able to get along with one another, how come it's true so much of the time? What's happening? What's gone wrong? Well, let me tell you the answer to that question. You see, it always comes down to this. When you are obedient to the Word of God in any area of your life, you know what happens? You will tend to prosper in that area. Because God's Word is true. Amen? God's Word is wisdom. God's Word tells us how things really work. And when we follow and obey His Word, we're going to prosper in that area of our lives. On the other hand, the other side of that, when we neglect or reject the Word of God in some particular area of our lives and don't put it into practice, guess what? You're going to have a mess on your hands. I call it mess and distress. That's what happens when we neglect the Word of God in some area of our lives. So when Christians cannot get along with other Christians, you know what's happening? Somehow we are missing something in the Word. somehow we're not putting into practice something in the Word. Go with me to Romans chapter 12. Look at verse 10. It says, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. You want to know what the secret is that so much of the times Christians have missed? In fact, my observation is that for the most part, Christians don't pay attention to this at all on a day-by-day basis. And the result is that as soon as there is some kind of disagreement or misunderstanding or some kind of painful experience puts pressure on the relationship with another believer, it becomes an open door for the devil to do what he loves to do, which is to damage or destroy as many relationships as he possibly can. That's what the devil wants to do to us. And it's because we neglect what this verse is saying. Look at this. It says, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. Here, watch it. Here it is. With in honor, giving preference to one another. What I'm saying is this. It's our neglect of what the Bible teaches about how to relate to one another that causes us to have so much difficulty getting along with one another. Now, that's the negative way to say it. Let me put it the positive way. If we do what the Bible says to do in this verse, the result will be good, strong, loving, and satisfying relationships that can stand the test of the pressure and stress of circumstances that the devil cannot get into and mess up, and that will bring us joy instead of pain and heartache. Look again at this verse. I'm going to read it in the New International Version this time. The NIV says this, be devoted to one another in brotherly love, honor one another above yourselves. The word we are going to focus on today is the word honor. Honor. What we as Christians have so often missed and neglected and failed to obey in our relationships with one another is God's command that we honor one another above ourselves. Honor. So much of the time, that's the critical and crucial missing ingredient in the way Christians relate to one another. We're in a series of messages on 10 ways to love your family. Honor is the fourth on our list of 10 ways. The first one was our love has to be sincere. The second one, that we have to focus on the good in people, even while we hate the evil. The third one was we need to be kindly affectionate to one another. And here we are at number four. We need to honor one another. Well, what does that mean? What is honor? That Greek word that says to honor one another, what it means is to highly esteem something, to account it as being very valuable. So to honor someone is to hold them in high esteem and to treat them in a way that shows that I consider them to be very valuable and worthy of praise. Did you ever go to a supermarket and look out in the parking lot and you see this sports car out at the very end of the parking lot, out there by itself, and it is parked diagonally. Instead of being in just one of those parking spaces, it's parked in such a way it covers two or three of them, but it's parked diagonally. Now, you know why they do that? Because he doesn't want anybody else to even get close to his car. He doesn't want you to park beside him and swing your door open and crash it into his car and scratch his car up. What he's saying is, I value this car. This car is too nice. This car is too clean to have anybody mess it up. I value it extremely, so I am willing to walk all the way from the very edge of the parking lot and have to walk back carrying all my groceries. Why? Because I value my car. What the Word is telling us is we need to value one another as much as that guy values his car or more. Amen? Understand something. God made all of us, every human being, with a desire to be honored. God has built into us a need to seek honor. Even a criminal on the street needs to be honored. We call it respect. Respect me, because if you don't, I'll blow you away. It's that need to be honored. When we honor a person, we are ministering to a deep need in their life that God put there. On the other hand, when we fail to honor a person, or worse, when we dishonor them, we are withholding from them something that they desperately need. And guess what? That is not love. No matter what you do for a person, if it is not done in the context of honor, they will not receive it as love. Have you ever had this happen to you? You go out of your way to do something for somebody. You spend your hard-earned money. You go spend your time doing something for somebody. And you present it to them. And they don't hardly show any appreciation. Ever been there? You know what's happening a lot of the time? We give it to them, but we do it in such a way that they don't receive any or perceive any honor in it. I mean, have you ever seen somebody, had somebody do something for you? And it was really important that they did it for you, and you're glad they did it, but the attitude they had about it made you say, well, I really don't even want it. Ever had that happen? If you withhold honor from a person, you are withholding love. So if you are not willing to honor somebody, don't talk about how much you love them. You see, love and honor go together. They go together. If you really want to bless a person and demonstrate love for them, you've got to start by honoring them. No matter how much you do for a person, if you don't honor them, then you don't really love them, and they know the difference. Well, today I want to give us 5 steps toward communicating an attitude of honor toward the people in our lives. Number 1, choose honor. Choose honor. You've got to make a deliberate choice to honor people. You know, we live in a time when it's normal to dishonor people. If you gather around the water cooler at work and you're talking about the boss, is what people are talking about usually something that is of honor or of dishonor? Let me just see. How many of you, when you gather around the water cooler at work and talk about your boss, you are saying what a wonderful boss you have? Let me just see. How many of you? Got 1. Praise the Lord. Got 2. What about the rest of you? What are we normally doing about the boss? M-G-C, isn't that right? Moaning, groaning, and complaining. We dishonor. It's not natural to focus on the good. It's more natural to focus on what's wrong. And therefore, we have to deliberately choose to honor people rather than to dishonor people. Look at the command that we're given. 1 Peter 2:17 says this: honor all people as long as they deserve it. How many of you have that in your Bible? Honor all people as long as they deserve it. If you have that in your Bible, I need to know what version you've got. Now, what does it say? Honor all people. Now, I do this periodically. You know, I'm a Greek scholar. And therefore, I need to translate this word for you. You know what the Greek word that's translated all really means? Anybody have a guess? All means all. Thank you. All means all. It says honor how many people? All people. Now, I give some other examples because we honor different people in different ways. But the bottom line is what? Everybody is worthy of honor. In one way or another, everybody is worthy to be accounted as valuable, to be accounted as someone who is worthwhile. That's what it means to honor. Jesus came and he died. In Romans 5:8 it says, while we were yet sinners, God demonstrated his love for us because Christ came and died for us. Amen? You see, that's why people deserve honor, because Jesus died for them. So number one, we need to choose honor. Here's number two. We need to speak honor. We need to speak honor to that person and about that person. Proverbs 18:21 says this, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit." Death and life in the power of the tongue. We need to speak honor to people. We need to speak honor about people. When we communicate dishonor to somebody, you know what we're doing? We are pulling that relationship down to death. Ephesians 4:29 says this, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers." Do you know what the standard is for what we say to and about one another? The word edify means to build up. Amen? The question is not, is it true? The question is not, is that the way I feel? The question is this, is it going to build somebody up or is it going to tear somebody down? The Bible says we've got to speak to build up and not to tear down. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Go over to Proverbs chapter 16, verse 24. Proverbs 16, 24. Look at this. "Pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones." Pleasant words are like a honeycomb. How many of us, when we get upset with one another, still know how to speak pleasant words? Words of honor rather than dishonor. If we don't know how to do it, what do we need to do? We need to learn how to talk to one another. Amen? We need to ask God to show us how to speak words of honor, even when I'm upset. Pleasant words, health to the bone. How many of you could use some more healthy bones? I could. Amen? You know what you need? You need some pleasant words. Hallelujah. So why don't we start ministering pleasant words to one another? Words of honor and not dishonor. The example I always use is this. If I didn't know the person you're talking about, I had never met them, but I hear you talking from day to day about this person, by the time I meet them, will my attitude toward them be one of honor or one of dishonor based on what I heard you say? Would I already think this is a person worthy of honor because of what I heard you say? Or would I think, man, that person must be a dog because of the way I always hear you talk about them? We need to speak honor. Here's the third thing. Not only do we need to choose honor and speak honor, we need to think honor. You see, if we're going to speak honor, it's got to be genuine. Luke 6:45 says this, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks." You cannot speak honor about a person or to a person if it's not in your heart. Because let me tell you what will happen. Have you ever done this? You are trying to say the right thing to somebody. You are upset with them. You are mad with them. You are angry with them. But you don't want to pour oil on the fire or gas on the fire. So you are trying to say the right thing. And they still take offense. Ever been there? You know what's happening? You're saying all the right stuff, but your attitude is coming out. Even if you are saying good things, if what's in your heart is not good, guess what? It'll come out. And so the scripture says it's from the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. If we're going to speak honor about one another, guess what? We got to have honor in our hearts toward that person. Isn't that right? How do we do it? Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Look at verse 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. Look at this. Talking about love in 1 Corinthians 13. Amen. It says this. "Love does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil." You know what that means? When love looks at the other person, it does not look for the worst in that person, it looks for the best. It's not looking for what's wrong, for what's evil, it's looking for what's good. In other words, we need to focus on the best and not on the worst. Look for the things in a person's life that we can legitimately honor and focus on those things and not on the things that are wrong. Let me tell you something. If you want to honor other people, you cannot afford to go over and over that person's faults, even in your own mind. Anybody do that? Now, I've admitted this to you before. I was a good one for that. If you hurt me or upset me, I might or might not say anything to you, but you know what? I was carrying on a conversation in my mind. And every time I would think about you, I would think of every negative thing about you. And I would go over it and go over it and go over it. Understand something. We can't keep thinking about the negative. We can't keep talking about the negative. If we're going to honor people, we got to deal with it. And we got to deal with it biblically. How do we deal with it? In Matthew 18, it tells us that if we have a problem with somebody, if someone has offended us, what do we need to do? Go to that person and deal with it. Amen? Don't just let it fester. Don't let it grow into bitterness. Don't let it keep going over and over in our mind. It says go to the person and deal with it. Or you may just need to decide to let it go. Romans chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. Let me read it to you in the New International Version. Romans 15, verses 1 and 2 says this. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please his neighbor for his good to build him up. We who are strong need to bear with the failings of the weak. Sometimes you just need to bear with people. Sometimes you just need to let some stuff go. Whatever it takes, you need to get your heart right toward that person. And you know what one of the best ways to get your heart right towards somebody when they've offended you or they've hurt you is to look at it in the context of your own sin. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14 says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must also do. How many of you ever mess up? This is another one of those 100% questions. How many of you, when you mess up, want to be forgiven? Amen? Well, understand, when people mess up for us, God says, look, when you messed up, what did I do? I forgave you. So what do we need to do? Forgive them. Isn't that right? We need to deal with our heart. And the very best way to deal with your heart is to forgive. Here's number four. We need to give honor. Our whole attitude toward the person needs to be one of honor. Go over, I want you to see this. Go over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Look at verses 12 and 13. It says, and we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. And to do what? Esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Who is it talking about? It says those who labor among you. In other words, those who are at work among you in the service of the gospel. Has this ever happened? You've been in a meeting of some group in the church and it just got totally out of hand. Everybody had their own opinion. Everybody's trying to go their own way. Everybody's got a comment on this and a comment on that. And nothing gets done. There was no peace. You know what the problem was? What did it say? Esteem those who are leading highly for the work's sake. Just the fact that that person has been appointed to leadership means what? While they're doing that leadership responsibility, you need to esteem them highly. You cannot honor God without esteeming the one that God has appointed. And when that doesn't happen, there's confusion and strife. There is no peace. So if you're ever in a situation in the church where there is confusion, you need to ask this question. Who is not honoring and highly esteeming the one that God has placed in leadership, in a leadership role in that situation? Here's number five. We need to do honor. In Romans 12:10, it says, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. Well, look at Philippians 2, 3, and 4. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. We need to do honor to one another. What does that mean? We need to look on one another's business as being as important as our own. We can't just turn our backs on one another and say, well, that's your problem. But what? If it's important to you, if it's important in your life, then we need to esteem others better than ourselves, it says, and look out not only for our own interests, but for theirs as well. We need to do honor. What does that translate to? If my car won't start, who should I be able to call for a ride? We need to do honor to one another. We need to count as important that which is important to the other person. And we need to do what it takes to treat their business as we would treat our own. That's what it means to do honor. You see, if we'll do these five things, if we will deliberately choose to honor the person, whether we feel like it or not, and if we will speak honor, speak words that communicate how we esteem and value that person, if we will think honor in our hearts and forgive the person if they need to be forgiven, overlook some things, and if we will give honor to those to whom honor is due, and finally, if we will do honor by esteeming other people's issues as much as we esteem our own, we'll be a long way along the road to honoring one another.